Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. A one-day cinematic event takes place in just about 24 hours. It involves a documentary called Unity, and we've got the full story for you. Plus, if you think you've seen it all in reality dating, well, now you really are going to see it all. VH1 has Dating Naked, and we've got the guy who pretty much is at the center of all of it. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
There's a special cinematic event this week that involves a really unique documentary. The documentary is called Unity, and it features 100 celebrity narrators, and it took over 7 years to get to the big screen. The guy behind all that is Sean Munson, who told me a little bit about the project.
Well, it's really a study in perceptions, in opposites, in conflict. I mean, the film is titled Unity. But there's a great deal in the film that talks about disunity and what it will take for humankind to get past perceiving these opposites in one another, because life has always been expressed this way. All this variety has always been here. This is no revelation. And no matter what great strides we take to create the things we come up with and our technology and so on, we are still quite savage and barbaric and almost Neanderthal with each other. So the film is asking the viewer why we can't seem to break past that in the ways we've broken past in so many other areas.
Where did the idea first come from?
I don't know. I mean, I've been working on it for years. I don't know if it was the iPhone 2 or 3 or 4, whatever I had in my pocket at the time. But I remember thinking, this is just a marvel. This is incredible. But I don't think this is gonna bring us world peace. And you can go to yoga, you know, you can be vegan, you can be any number of things. And I thought, that's not going to bring world peace. It struck me that nothing we come up with is going to bring us world peace. It had to be some sort of inner shift that would occur, and we would see the same world we're in now, but we'd see it completely differently. And that was sort of the spark of either a book or a film, and I chose to make it into a film.
So what does he think will surprise people most when they see the film?
Well, you know, we all come by it honestly. You know, we all come by it honestly. We're raised in a certain part of the world, in a certain culture, and things are taught to us. And then what happens is, which is totally fine, nothing wrong with that, but we begin to identify. We begin to have an identity with, you know, your nationality, your race, your religion, your politics. And it can go on and on to, I'm a college graduate, I'm a homeowner, et cetera, I'm a business owner, et cetera. And you begin to have these identities. So that when you look outside that identity, outside that preference, it might feel uncomfortable because we prefer the in-group. And the out-group is sort of over there. But the film is asking us to no longer have an in-group, but to embrace all of it, the out-group. And it seems like a fierce, tall order, but it really isn't. It's simple. It's basically the golden rule, you know, be kind. I mean, that's essentially what it is.
As a writer and director, what does he hope that the audience takes away from the experience?
Well, there's a line in the film. It's even on our poster. It says, not the same, but equal. I think that line alone will be potentially challenging enough, because we know we're not the same, but that equal part, I think whether we care to admit it or not, we like that there is an inequality, because that means that somebody or something is above another, is a little better than another, and therefore you can either suppress, oppress, exercise dominion over, what have you, over the lesser. So, you know, people might come out going, not the same but equal, and maybe wrestle with that a little bit. But it might just plant a seed, you know, an initial seed of going beyond, you know, duality and something being less than another.
Again, Unity has an unprecedented 100 celebrity narrators. That includes some names you're probably familiar with.
Well, just to name a few, I mean, we have Joaquin Phoenix and Jessica Chastain, Dr. Dre, Eckhart Tolle, Helen Mirren, Marion Cotillard, Jeffrey Rush, Aaron Paul, Moby. I mean, the idea was, instead of a single narrator, which is more traditional, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but the idea being Unity, what if we had voices constantly changing, ever shifting and moving, almost like the voices were like a river flowing, and the narrative became a chorus. The narrative itself, like music, became a symphony, not a single note. It just took years to do that part of it and to edit those voices together.
This week, the film will debut for one day only in theaters around the country. But if you missed that particular event, when can you see Unity?
Well, it'll eventually be on iTunes in the fall, probably November. But it's a very unique theatrical release that they're doing, which is a one-day sort of event cinema, they call it, and it's on over 1,000 screens worldwide. And, you know, the idea is almost like a concert. You know, it's a one-time-only thing. And so if one can, you try to, you know, schedule and coordinate so you can make it there and see it in a theater, see it uninterrupted, in an uninterrupted viewing, surrounded by strangers, but in a communal setting. That'll be probably more powerful than any home viewing experience, which, of course, is where it will end up and live forevermore after that.
Again, the one-day cinematic event with Unity takes place tomorrow, August the 12th. Check for theaters in your area. And again, keep an eye out for Unity when it hits video on demand later this year. It's been a hot summer in the comic book stores, but not so hot for DC. All that and more as we check the latest in pop culture. One of the most buzzed about shows of the summer got a vote of approval. Netflix has given another season to Sense8. The second season will begin sometime early in 2016 on the streaming service. Over the weekend at the TCA, the critics spoke and they handed out some awards too, giving one to Amy Schumer for individual achievement in comedy and to her Comedy Central Inside Amy Schumer show as the Best Comedy Program Award. Other winners included Mad Men's Jon Hamm, AMC's Better Call Saul, and FX's The Americans. Also at the TCA, FX made a few announcements of interest, including another season for The Strain that will debut next year. And they also set the premiere date for the new Kurt Sutter drama, The Bastard Executioner. That will debut on the network on September the 15th. Comic stores in July were pretty much dominated by Marvel once again. Big titles, of course, being Star Wars and Secret Wars. But a couple of interesting notes when we look at the sales, including an appearance from Archie. We'll go over all those numbers, including the graphic novel sales, too, coming up in a bit. There's another big sales winner more than likely on the way for Marvel. That'll be Invincible Iron Man, set to hit stores in October, and Marvel's pushing to make sure it gets there, with preview pages all over the internet and in-store parties tied to a month-long promotion for comic book stores. There's some cool giveaways tied into the parties, including a Deadpool sketch variant and a build-your-own Iron Man promotion as well. Check with your retailers to find out if they're involved. The book is set to hit stores on October the 7th. Marvel's hot summer in the comic stores didn't translate to the movie theaters, at least in the case of Fantastic Four, which debuted with one of the lowest weekends ever for a Marvel movie, tying it pretty close to what happened with Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance a few years ago. Mission Impossible, of course, the number one movie of the weekend, and Fantastic Four came in with just $26.2 million in ticket sales. Overall, movies were down this weekend when compared to the same time in 2014. Looking at the stats, it was last year that we had the Turtles movie in theaters, debuting with about $65 million. And Guardians of the Galaxy right behind it, with another good weekend for that film at $42 million. Overall, with this weekend, compared to last year, showed a 30% deficit. When it comes to reality dating shows, well, it's not hard to find one when you turn on the television. However, there is one that has a little bit different twist, and that's Dating Naked from VH1. Yep, it's exactly what the title says. We talked to this season's Bachelor, Chris, about just what the show is.
Yeah, so it's a little different twist this season. You know, there's two main daters, the Bachelorette, Carrie, and myself, the Bachelor, and we date through 10 weeks. We go on two dates per episode, and we carry over a dater from the prior episode. And out of the three people, we pick one to go to the next. And eventually, 10 weeks down the road, we hopefully end up with one.
And this is...
It's weird, dude. We're naked. It's totally weird. It's a blind date. And, we've never met before. Nobody knows what to expect. You don't know what the date is. You know, you don't know what kind of person you're about to look at. And, I mean, you're naked. So, yeah, it's super weird.
So how did Chris get involved with this?
Totally random. I recently moved to San Diego and started a business down there, and I got a financial consulting business, which is completely different from dating naked. And I got a random phone call. Somebody said, hey, would you be interested? And I took a look at it, thought about it for a little bit, and I said, let's go. Let's do it. Why not? So that's how it all happened.
So walking in front of the cameras, having a date, and being naked, how'd that work out?
It was bizarre. I'll tell you what, like the first 2 to 3 episodes, I was juggling so much. I mean, the fact that I'm dating publicly, the fact that I'm naked, and the fact that I'm, you know, on these blind dates. I'm essentially, you know, have to be this charming, charismatic guy, you know, in a public setting, day in and day out. Not to mention, you know, you gotta win them over. You gotta bring them back to the house where there's 3 girls and they're all fighting with each other. It's chaotic, you know, juggling it. There's a ton going on besides the nakedness.
Still, even though there's no clothes, there's plenty of drama.
I mean, it's wild. You know, I came from a house of 4 boys. You know, there's all this estrogen flying around and claws and screaming, and yeah, I was totally new. It was overwhelming. I mean, there's so much to juggle besides the fact that you're all uncomfortable and you're all in a completely new atmosphere. I mean, it's whacked. It's completely whacked.
When it came to the different dates on the show, Chris said each one was a little different.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there was all different personalities, shapes, sizes, backgrounds, ethnicities. So I never knew what to expect. And, you know, certainly some, are you kidding me? Some gave me a full sprint and jumped up on, like, and gave me a hug, like, immediately. Others were really timid, you know. You had to kind of break them in and make sure they were comfortable. So, I mean, it was totally different. Total range of personality.
In a reality world, obviously the goal is for a little romance to blossom. So did things happen a little quicker in this situation?
You know what? I would say, believe it or not, I know it's crazy. It didn't really have a tremendous effect on speeding up the process of jumping into the shack or not. Honestly, it was still getting to know somebody. Yeah, you were naked. I think, if anything, I mean, it was just, you definitely got to know the person better, quicker. You know, you definitely had deeper conversations than you normally would. But I think that had to do with the timing. You know, you just had to, you had a short amount of time to get to know somebody, you know, rather than being completely naked.
See Chris and a lot more, too, on Dating Naked, Playing for Keeps. New episodes every Wednesday on VH1.
The Point, The Point.
It's been a hot summer, especially for Marvel, with comic sales in the comic stores. But when you look at the numbers overall, still there's a little bit of a dip when compared to where we were in 2014. Comics sold in comic stores in July were down about 4.67% when compared to last summer. However, when you look at 2015 as a whole, comic sales are pretty much up, almost 17%, again, when compared to the first half of 2014. DC had their weakest month in, well, a few years, and a surprise from Archie, too, in the top 10. At number 10 for the best-selling comics, Guardians of Nowhere, number 1 from Marvel, Age of Apocalypse, number 1 at number 9, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 2, came in at number 8. Number 7, best-selling comic, first issue of the rebooted Archie from Mark Waid. At number 6, Darth Vader, number 7. DC comes in at number 5 with Batman, number 42. At number 4, Star Wars, number 7. First issue of Civil War was a number 3 best-selling comic. Star Wars Landau, number 1, was number 2. And the number 1 bestseller in comic stores in July, Secret Wars, number 4 from Marvel.
The Point.
That does it for the podcast, but when we're back, I'm bringing along two of my favorite people on the planet. Lennon Parham and Jessica St. Clair from Playing House on USA are back to talk about how they fought hard and won to get a second season of the comedy back on television. All that and more on websites like comicmix.com, also on getthepointradio.com, and, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory. Please subscribe. We love for you to do that. We also like it when you follow us on social media. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is where you'll find us, all under The Point Radio. See you back here in a few days.
Get The Point Radio.